today is the last full day of Barack Obama's presidency. For some, that's good news. Others wish he could hang around for another term. Obama himself said recently on David Axelrod's podcast he believes he could have won a third term.
I'm confident that if I had run again and articulated it, I think I could have mobilized a majority of the American people to rally behind it.
Of course, seeking a third term is not possible. The 22nd Amendment prohibits it. So why is that? Let's bring in Alan Lichtman, distinguished professor of history at American University. He's on Skype. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
And remind us how we got here. What was the 22nd Amendment and why was it passed?
The 22nd Amendment was passed for a simple reason. After World War II, the Republicans took over the Congress in 1946, and they were quite chagrined that Franklin Roosevelt had not only broken but shattered the supposed George Washington two-term tradition and had been elected four times as president of the United States, shutting out the Republicans. And of course, upon his death, Harry Truman, his vice president, took over. So in 1947, Congress passed the 22nd Amendment, limiting presidents to two terms with some restrictions with regard to how you exactly count two terms. It has to be at least 1.5 terms or more. They didn't apply it to Truman, but they applied it to all subsequent presidents, and it was ratified by 3/4 of the states in 1951 and has been part of our Constitution ever since.
Was there any pushback? Were there people at the time who said, no, we should allow presidents to serve more than two terms?
There, of course, was pushback at the time, and there has been pushback ever since. There have been repeated efforts, in fact, by members of Congress to introduce measures to repeal the 22nd Amendment, but they have gone absolutely nowhere. But at the time and up to the present, there were those who say, let the people decide. Don't bar a president from seeking a third term. It may be in the best interest of the country.
Well, and you mentioned the George Washington rule. George Washington made the decision on his own to only serve two terms. But why didn't it happen after that? How come no president went beyond two terms between that point and FDR?
Well, in the first place, George Washington kind of set the precedent for everything. And although he never explicitly said presidents should be limited to two terms, because George Washington stepped down when he certainly could have had a third term after two, this created kind of the informal Washington tradition that two terms should be enough for any American president. That didn't mean, though, that presidents didn't try for a third term. Ulysses S. Grant, who is not regarded today as a very good president, very good general, served two terms through 1877, and then sought a third term when he fought for the Republican nomination in 1880, very narrowly lost out to James A. Garfield, who we know, of course, was narrowly elected president in 1880. Theodore Roosevelt, who served almost all of William McKinley's second term, as well as a term of his own, certainly could have been reelected for a third term in 1908. He decided he was going to go off to Africa and hunt big game instead. But then he didn't like what his successor, William Howard Taft, was doing. And he tried to get a third term by running first for the Republican nomination unsuccessfully, and then as an independent Progressive Party candidate in 1912, but of course didn't win. And Woodrow Wilson, after serving two terms in 1920, very much wanted to run for a third term, but he had suffered a series of strokes, was probably too infirm to weather a presidential campaign, and was pretty unpopular in the aftermath of the war.
So what do you think, looking back on all of those instances and others, are the pluses and minuses? What are the good things and bad things about having term limits on the president?
Well, the good thing, of course, is we create change, and change is often needed, and change is often good. And we kind of prevent a president from gaining too much power. One of the big arguments at the Constitutional Convention for many terms was that if we had limited the president to just a certain number of terms, that he might act tyrannically. But others responded, well, you could establish virtually an aristocracy if you let the president have unlimited terms. That argument was rejected, but it is an argument that many have come to hold today.
We're talking about presidential term limits with Alan Lichtman, who's a distinguished professor of history at American University. And let's talk about what happened in New York City, because they have term limits on the mayoral position. And Michael Bloomberg, after serving two terms, decided he wanted to run for a third term. And he got them to change the rules for him, just a one-time thing, to run for a third term. And he ended up winning that third term. Could that happen in Washington? Could Congress pass a one-time exemption for a president to run for a third term?
Only if they wanted to get themselves into a lot of steaming, bubbling hot water. Look, the two-term limitation is not a statute. It is a constitutional provision. And I'm no lawyer, but as far as I know, you cannot, by passing a law, suspend a constitutional provision. No matter how much you loved the sitting president, no matter how much the members of Congress wanted that person to go on, I think they'd probably be slapped down by the Supreme Court if they tried to muck around with the Constitution.
Do you think that President Obama is right that he would have won a third term if he could have run for one?
Probably every president who served two terms believes they could have been elected to a third term. Maybe George W. Bush didn't because his approval ratings were down in the 20s. But I'm sure lots of presidents, like, of course, Woodrow Wilson, Ronald Reagan, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, believed they could. The truth is, we will never know. You can't unravel a single thread of history. Once you do that, the whole fabric becomes undone and you have to reweave it. So there is absolutely no way to know, to prove or disprove, whether Obama or any other two-term president could have won a third term. In some cases, it seems pretty clear given the political context. Certainly, as I said, Teddy Roosevelt could have won a third term. But in the modern era, when the parties are so closely divided, it's a free shot for Obama. No one can prove him wrong, although no one can prove him right either.
You have been proven right a number of times in predicting who the next president would be, including in this election, where a lot of people thought that your forecast must be wrong. But in fact, you were right. Donald Trump won. Now that he is president-elect and is about to be president of the United States, what are you anticipating about what's going to happen in the Trump presidency?
Well, at the same time I issued my prediction of a Trump victory, I issued a second prediction that's gotten almost as much attention. In fact, the story about it in The Fix in The Washington Post was the most viewed story of the year, and that was that Donald Trump would face impeachment at some time during his first term. Now, that was not a scientific prediction like the prediction of a Trump win. It came out of my gut, but I had some good reasons for it. First of all, Trump has a tradition, a history of flouting the law. He's been accused of sexual assault and sexual harassment by a dozen women. He has enormous conflicts of interest. He certainly has a history during the campaign and before of playing fast and loose with the truth. Remember, it was perjury that sunk Bill Clinton and got him impeached. In addition, why would a Republican Congress impeach a Republican president? That kind of thing just doesn't happen. Well, Donald Trump is not your typical Republican. He has no history of service or loyalty to the party. And Republicans love order and predictability. And Donald Trump is an unpredictable loose cannon. The Republicans would much prefer to have the predictable, down-the-line, standard-issue, Christian conservative Mike Pence.
Well, we will see if your prediction comes true. But first, we'll let him get inaugurated. Alan Lichtman, professor of history at American University. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
My great pleasure. Take care.